very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the, what is the date? 12th April 2022 is a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing or sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 213 for the hard copy. And those who follow the soft copy, you wait for it to be pinned on the Zoom screen. Okay. Just relax yourself, body and mind. Then we can have our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Feel of the light so that you're okay. Begin your awareness-based meditation. Always remember, we are here to train our mundane mind so that it is aware. Then use it to develop the stability of awareness within. That's why it is called awareness-based meditation. To be aware is very easy. The moment we are without thought, we are already aware that that nature, which is the awareness nature, can only be aware, that's it. And that is the first thing to come out, the pure awareness. That's why that nature is characteristic, is just the awareness, nothing else. So what I have taught you all is the understanding behind. Then when you understand, you will know how to develop it. The other thing that you all need to know is, if you go by the traditional way, you may need to develop the five spiritual faculties for you to have the ability to be in the meditative state so that you are aware within, naturally. But most people don't have that training, don't have the stability or the five spiritual faculties. And because of that, when you lack this five spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance arise. The opposite five mental hindrance arise. So that is the reason why most people cannot meditate. When they are told to meditate, they immediately try, they fail, because the mental hindrance create heedless thinking, and it also create the movement of thought, conditioned by memories. And memories are full of our views, opinion, and conditioning that we accumulated over long period of living life. That is also transmitted through our evolution, the evolution of the form of mind, the coming consciousness. So all this has a bearing on us. So without this understanding, the mind cannot settle down. Yeah. That's why they have to come up with methods, techniques, skillful means, or meditative instruction for you to anchor your mind so that your mind does not wander off and get lost in thought, so that it can stay with the object of meditation. And this is what people fail to understand. They thought by following the instruction to meditate, they are doing the meditation. No. In fact, the instructions are just skillful means to anchor the mind and to train the mind. That's why they need method. They need technique of what we call object of meditation. So the method and technique usually involve an object of meditation. So object of meditation can be anything where you can focus on, concentrate on, and anchor your mind. Then at least the Buddha taught anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, which is better because it is about mindfulness of the in and out breath. So it's training your mind to be aware, mindful, and stabilizing it. Then from there, use it to meditate. So when you understand that, then you can use it, no harm, provided you understand. So do not be gullible. If you are familiar with whatever method, techniques, or skillful means like chanting, or dynamic hand movement, or any of these Buddha type of symbol, or any of the mantra or chanting that can give you faith, give you the anchor to anchor your mind and develop mindfulness over it, and use it. Then after that, let it stabilize until your mind enters the deep. So that way is the traditional way, which is more tedious. That's why people have to train very long. They have to do it over a long period of training. Whereas the one that I taught you all is more direct and easier. It takes you direct into the true mind. Like Hui Neng said, the first hallmark is Wu Nian, no thought. How can we have a state of no thought? That's why I said, you just relax. Then no need to think, no need to know, no need to do anything. Then you don't have to use thought. Thought may not arise. Just relax. But you have to let the mind do something. So what you need to do is maintain awareness. Now that part is not easy. If it's the first time you are doing and you are new, you may not be able to do it well. So you need to understand it, then develop it. Because this is something very new to people who are used to thought-based meditation or all the method, technique, and skillful means. Then when you do this awareness-based meditation, it's like there is nothing special, no special experience, light, or anything. No focusing, no concentration, no labeling, no instruction, nothing. Just relax. Maintain awareness. But if your mind is not trained, you don't have the understanding and the ability to do it, the thought will come. Then you don't know what to do. So like I said, when you maintain awareness, means you just aware, no need to know. Thought arise, let it arise. Aware, finish. Maintain awareness again. Then the third support is, after you relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it until the awareness nature becomes very clear, very stable. Then the person who do it will understand. Then when you reach the stage where the mind has slowed down, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, and it will finally return to its original state of stillness, tranquility. And that is your true mind, your silent mind. But initially, I think you will have a glimpse of it only. Yeah, because most people are not familiar. So the glimpse of it is good enough. Then after that, you continue to do. Those who are doing the sitting, maybe you need to learn how to relax body and mind completely until your posture fall into a very natural relaxed state where the chi flow become very natural, especially at your leg area. If you are not completely relaxed and mindful, the body cannot have that natural state. a relaxed posture where the qi can flow freely. That's why people who don't have the ability to relax and maintain awareness, the sitting type of posture is more difficult. That's why people tend to go into concentration, absorption, one-pointedness, to anchor the mind, to focus the mind, so that they forget about the pain, they forget about the numbness or whatever they associate with the sitting. But if you know how to relax and maintain awareness, the pain may not arise. As you relax into it, maintain awareness, the awareness allows the qi to flow, so there is no constriction of energy flow. There is no building up of numbness and pain and whatever. Then you can just relax and maintain awareness, do your awareness-based meditation. But later on, you should try the lying down posture. That is the most convenient and the most relaxed posture. When you lie down, you don't cross your leg. You don't have any problem with the qi constriction. But the disadvantage is, most people, when you are relaxed and lie down, you tend to sleep. There's only negative aspect of lying down meditation. But it can be done. You maintain awareness. Initially, maybe you may doze off. It's okay. When you doze off, you may lapse into the unconscious or the subconscious. Then suddenly your body starts to snore. And at the moment of snoring, you should be aware because the vibration, the noise, is strong enough to make you aware again. So that's how you do it. Okay, with that, I will just let you proceed with your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Then we'll continue from where we started, page 213, the wonderful Dharma Lotus Flower Sutta. As to the destiny of people, how does one become a human being? This one is sharing a little bit on how can you be reborn as a human being. So, according to the Sutta and Master Shenhoi said, it is also through doing acts of merits and virtue, like holding the five precepts and cultivating the 10 good deeds, means the 10 meritorious actions. They hold the five precepts and cultivate the 10 good deeds on the lower level. So this one, to be a human being, is relatively easy, lower level. However, asuras, they perform them at the intermediate or middle level. Then to become devas or gods, you have to do it at the higher level. That's why you want to be born as devas or within the deva plane. You need to keep your five precepts and perform the 10 good deeds. The 10 good deeds are very important. There are innumerable distinctions, but we won't go into them now because this one is just a general explanation. So these are the causes of birth in the three wholesome paths. So within the six paths, Liu Tao Lin Hui, or they call it the six rhyme of the 31 plane of existence, the three are considered wholesome rhyme. The other three are the evil destiny or evil path. Then the commentary continued. What about the three evil paths? They come from greed, hatred, and stupidity. Or in the Theravada tradition, we always call it delusion. But Mahayana tend to use the word stupidity. Are you greedy? If you are too greedy, chances are you will be turned into a hungry ghost. Why hungry ghost? Sorry, why are hungry ghosts hungry? Oh, okay. Because when they were alive, they were greedy for food. They always have to have a little bit more of whatever it was they were eating. If you like to eat a little more, then you can turn into a hungry ghost and have nothing at all to eat. Why were they greedy for food? Because they have already had an awakening and enlightenment. What were they enlightened to? To the fact that in the future, they aren't going to have anything to eat, that they are going to become hungry ghosts. I'm going to turn into a hungry ghost. I would better hurry up and eat all I can now. They think they have got a bit of skill in predicting the future. So it is with greed. So this one, I think, is Xuan Hua's way of putting it. I think it's more like humor, like a joke. But the actual thing is different. The actual functioning of these three evil roots that lead to the birth in the three evil paths, they are more deep in its meaning. Because greed, hatred, and delusion are the three evil roots, as we all know, under the teachings. So evil roots means when you have them in your heart, when you have this greediness, or what we call selfishness, possessiveness, covetousness, these are all part of greed. So when you hold on to this type of mind state, then it will make you evil, like a greedy person, a selfish person, a possessive person. Then those who want to own things, possess things, covetousness type of person. These are all evils, roots of all evil, make you evil. Because of that, you will have tendency to break precept. You will try to steal, misappropriate things that don't belong to you. Or you try to deceive people, cheat people. Or you try to harm people, kill people. So all these are the cause of karmic negativity. That's why when the teachings say they are evil roots, roots of all evil, means they make you evil. So similarly, the next evil root, which is hatred, or sometimes we also term it as anger. When you have a lot of anger, it will lead to hatred. So the evil roots of anger or hatred, they are also very wide, like greed. All of your envy, jealousy, your dislike, they are all part of the evil root of hatred. So your mind states that have this tendency or mental intention will make you evil. That's why it's called evil, root of all evil. So if you hold on to them, it will lead to evil destiny, means your rebirth will be fall when you die from that birth, chances are you will fall into one of the three evil destiny. The last one, of course, is delusion. Delusion is mainly Sakkaya Ditthi, or in Pali is called Moha. Delusion of what? Delusion of self, self-delusion. Then you attach and cling on to the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it is real, thinking that it is you. That will lead to delusion. And delusion can be triggered when there is fear, there is doubt, that condition, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. These are all part of the evil roots of delusion. So individually, they all have their own tendencies, but they constitute evil roots, root of all evils. But if you are to develop the training and the understanding of these three evil roots, you will come to understand one very clear principles. The three evil roots always manifest through self-delusion, Sakkaya Ditthi. So delusion is the first one. And with delusion, you trigger off the personality or the egoic mind. The egoic mind and the personality or the ego create the I and the me within the living beings. And when you have the I and the me, you think you exist. That itself is a very powerful delusion. Then what happens is the entity believes he exists and he is real, will develop the other two evil roots of greed and hatred. As you try to own things, you try to have things, you try to possess things, cling on to things, hold on to things, grasp on to things. That's like possessiveness, covetousness, craving, desire, lust. All these are part of the evil roots of greed. So the personality created this. Then when things don't go your way, you become emotional. You become angry, you develop envy, jealousy, hatred, negativity of mind state, unhappy mind state. So all these are the evil roots. Then finally, of course, the personality also can develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. When it cannot understand what is going on, then it has doubt, the evil roots, everything. So these are wrong thought, negativity of thought process with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And when you carry them, sometimes you may be very strong in one or two or a combination of the evil roots. If you only have one strong one, trigger off by self-delusion first, then you are greedy. Chances are you will fall into the beta rhyme, the rhyme of the what they call hungry ghost. So these are the rhyme where the greed and delusion are there, but heavy on the greed part. They are not so violent. Whereas those who have this tendency of anger, hatred, strong emotion that make them violent, they are normally born as the asuras. Asuras, or the what they call the demons, demon rhymes. Then there is also the other one, animal rhyme. Animal rhyme is if your delusion is very strong, dullness of mind, Sakkaya Ditthi, you are very deluded, then you may have a little bit of greed and hatred. But mainly, delusion strong. So you'll be born into the animal. Then the last one is, of course, the hell rhyme. The hell rhyme is actually the rhyme where you have all the three evil, they are all there. So when you have all the three strongly in you, chances are you will take birth in the hell rhyme. Then also for those who commit very heavy karma, the five types of heavy karma, they call patricide. Patricide means killing of your parents, father and mother. Then killing of an arahant. Then the fourth one is when you wound a Samasa Buddha. Of course, that one very low probability, but it is one of the heavy karma or heinous karma. Then the last one, of course, is to cause disorder or disharmony within the Sangha community. They call it Sikhism. Sikhism. Called Sikhism within the Sangha or the Sangha community. So those who commit this, any of these five heavy karma, they will definitely immediately go down and take rebirth in the evil destiny of hell. And of the hell, the worst one is Avijja hell. The Avijja hell is actually day and night suffering without even any intermediary pause or whatever. It's constant suffering. So with that, we go back to the sharing. Hopefully with this, you can understand the law of karma better, and you can understand the three words better. Okay. So just now Xuan Ho only finished the evil root of greed. Now we go to and see what he said about hatred. Do you enjoy getting angry? Fine, give it up. So it's a humorous way. And you will end up in hell. In hell, you won't even be able to stand yourself. I will just try out that mountain of knives. You will say, and in a fit of rage, you will throw yourself on it and get slashed to death. All because of anger. Let's just say or see how terrible those knives are. Or you may throw yourself into the pot of boiling oil. You guys won't dare jump, would you? Well, here goes. And you jump. You are so angry that you were there to try out the hell. Be they mountains or knives or pots of boiling oil. So this one, Master Xuan Hua is trying to let us understand what hell is like. This hell, especially Avijja hell, it seems the description of it is terrible. The mountain of knives or pots of boiling oil, really non-stop tormenting the hell being. That's why they always say it's always full of suffering. Hardly any moment of relief or non-suffering. That's why if you can, by all means, avoid having these evil roots that will lead to birth in the hell rhyme. That's what happens when you give in to anger or hatred. I'm telling all of my disciples, if you have a bad temper, hurry up and change. If you don't have a bad temper, don't develop one. Don't let this pass through one ear and out the other. It is extremely important. Don't think It is not a big thing. The Dhamma master is just talking. It's not for sure that if I had a bad temper, I will fall into hell. If you try it out and end up in hell, it happens. Then be too late. You would think my teacher told me all along that this would happen. Now I know he was telling the truth, but then it's too late. You are already in hell. Now do you still dare to get angry? So this is Master Shen Hua's way of putting it. Eh? I have set up a law that if one person gets angry, all three have to kneel for 24 hours. I did this because I'm afraid you all will fall into the hell right. How can those who have left home get angry? There are now three samaneras, and if one gets angry, the other two have to kneel along with him for 24 hours. Now, ifs, ands, or buts about it, no politeness at all. You have been warned in advance, and no clemency will be shown. The best way to deal with it is simply not to get angry. Then my method will be rendered totally useless. If you get angry, my law goes into effect. Kneeling for 24 hours isn't really all that severe. On top of that, however, you will not be allowed to eat, drink, or go to the bathroom. How about that for firmness? Really strict? I set up this law several days ago, and now when I ask each of the samanera, have you gotten angry? They all say, no, 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 no. I say, Eta samanera, how is it that you have managed not to get angry? Ah, he said, between his teeth, I don't know. He doesn't know offhand why he hasn't gotten angry. Would you say this method was wonderful or not? Truly wonderful. Wonderful to the extreme. If you get angry, you may fall into hell. Because I'm afraid that you will fall into hell, I have established this severe rule. Then the last one is stupidity or sakkariti, self-delusion, moha. Do you like being stupid? Do you neglect your study of the Buddha Dharma? If you don't like being stupid, then study the Buddha Dharma. Study the Buddha Dharma, augment your wisdom, and helps you to develop wonderful prajna. If you don't study Buddhism or Buddha Dharma, you will remain stupid. And where will you go? Stupidity will take you off to the animal realm. Why are horses, cow, sheep, chicken, dog, and pig so unintelligent? Pig, for example, are most unintelligent. That's why there is a saying in Chinese, in Mandarin, I think, when they call you a pig, means you are very stupid. When they have eaten their fill, they sleep. And when they have slept well, they eat again. Other than those two activities, they don't have a third thing to do. Horses and cows do a little work, but they are also very stupid. Why are they stupid? Simply because they did not study the Buddha Dharma. Not only did they fail to study, but when other people took an interest in it, they say, hey, don't study that stuff. That's the dumbest thing you could do. They say others are dumb, but they are the dumbest. In the future, they will turn into animals just because they didn't study the Buddha Dharma. So this one is one of the causes. But actually, it's mainly because of sakkariti, self-delusion. Of course, you don't study the Buddha Dharma, you will have this so-called evil result, self-delusion or sakkariti. or in Mahayana term they call it stupidity. But in actual fact, when it comes to Buddha Dharma, it's about not understanding the essential Dharma, the nature's law that governs life and existence, nature's truth. When you don't understand truth that governs life and existence, then you have delusion or ignorance. So when you study or cultivate the Buddha Dharma, that is the beginning of understanding. Then the next phase is to put it into practice. That's why we had the three phases of Dhamma. Pariyatti is phase one, where you learn the teaching. Then from the learning of the Buddha Dharma or the teaching, you will move on to the second phase. The second phase is to put this into practice, to cultivate it. The phase two of Dhamma is called Patipatti. So from Pariyatti, you go to Patipatti. So after you put it into practice, you will develop awakening, insight, understanding. Then you can move on to the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. You get to realize the fruition of your hard work, your cultivation. Then you get to live the life of enlightenment, a noble. So these are the three phases. So when it comes to cultivation, Sakkayaditti or stupidity, or we call it self-delusion, it is the lack of understanding of who we are, what we are, the so-called five aggregate of form and mind. As a human being, is the lack of understanding of what this human being is all about. The Buddha defined human being as a five aggregate, means you have the first aggregate of form, which is the physical body. Then you have a mind trapped inside the physical body. And this mind, the Buddha subdivided into four more aggregates. To understand this aggregate, you ask yourself to inquire, what can your mind do? Then you can actually, on your own, find out and come up with an understanding. Basically, our mind can feel whether hot or cold. We have sensation. So feeling is an aggregate. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling. Hot or cold. That sensation part. So that is the first aggregate of mind, feeling. Then our mind can also perceive things. That's why through our consciousness, seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world, the external manifestation of mind. So perception is another aggregate of mind, where this is the quality of mind. The mind can perceive. Like when I see things, I can perceive the sight and sound through my seeing consciousness and hearing consciousness. Then when I listen to people speak or music, people singing, I can perceive their voice, their music. So perception is a quality of mind. And it's the second aggregate. Then what else can your mind do? We should inquire. Every day the mind do those things. What is it? The mind think a lot. And what is thinking? Thinking is mental activity. So mental activity can give rise to a lot of thought process thinking. So thinking can condition emotion, which is also part of the third aggregate of mind. The Buddha called it Sankara. In fact, Sankara is everything that the mind can do, including feeling and perception. So all your planning, scheming, your mental states, pleasant, unpleasant, tranquility, stillness, every aspect of mind state, restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, all these are manifestation of sankhara, mental activity, mental states. Then it can also create mental formation, mental movement. That's why all your planning, scheming, craving, desire, they are part of sankhara. Then finally, our mind is also capable of being conscious. It can make us conscious. That's why the fourth aggregate is consciousness. We can be conscious of what we see, conscious of what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So this six sandal can give rise to six types of corresponding sense of consciousness. So these four aggregate of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, or feeling, perception, mental activity, and consciousness, they are aggregates of mind. So these four combined with the physical body form the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, which is the human being. So our own form and mind as a human being is the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Then beyond that, there is another aspect, which the Buddha called the thought process, the namaru, the five aggregate of form and mind within the thought process. So within the mind, we know there are four aggregates. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. Then how does the form enter the mind? It enters the mind through the perception aggregate of Sanya. When we perceive something, the external form comes in. Like when we perceive the Buddha Rupang or my voice. These are mental objects or external form. They enter the mind. So when they enter the mind will also have the five aggregate of form and mind. So the external form has entered the mind through the thought process. That's why the namaru, when it comes to the 12 link, avijja paccaya sankhara, dependent on ignorance, it triggers sankhara, mental activity. So mental activity is the thought process. So mental activity creates thinking. Yeah. So our brain is also an organ. So when the mind makes contact with the brain, that's why it creates thinking. It triggers off thought consciousness. Like the physics experiment, upon contact, the light bulb lights up. So thought consciousness arises. So this is how the third link arises. From avijja, it conditions sankhara. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Then sankhara paccaya vijnana. Avijnana is the thought consciousness. That is before you input the content of consciousness. That's why after the third link, vijnana paccaya namarupang, the fourth link. That one is your thought process, your five aggregate of form and mind, the mental five aggregate. So don't get that one wrong. Under paticca samuppada, this one is the mental five aggregate, the second aspect. So when you understand this, then you will understand the Buddha Dhamma. Then when you meditate on it, you silence your mind, you develop awareness, you will see clearly that the five aggregate of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, and sankhara, whether first aspect or second aspect, they are all impermanent. They have these universal characteristics of impermanent. And they lead to suffering, dukkha. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. That is where the Sakkayaditi is. That's why the teaching is about non-self. And because it's impermanent, not a permanent and changing entity, that's why it will lead to non-self and empty nature or existence, where everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. So understanding impermanent is very important. What is anicchang? Anicchang means change, dependent on something, something arises. Then when this thing arises, you will condition something else. That's why dependent originating. And it keep on moving in a state of flux. That's why we call our world, the existential world, a condition arising world. And condition arising world give rise to the phenomenal world. Because it's condition arising, that's how phenomena come to be. When causes and conditions are there, things arise. When causes and conditions cease to be, things cease to be. But the world is a phenomenal world in a state of flux, constantly evolving, moving, changing, because it's an interaction between consciousness. And consciousness is the driving force, the energy that actually created the phenomenal world of form. That's why we have the star system, the physical continent, planets, stars, and all the other, what they call, formation within the universe. We also have asteroids, very, very big space debris or asteroid. And of course, we can also, through all these elements, through understanding of science, physics and chemistry, create things, manufacture things, mine things, and come up with things. That's how our phenomenal world of consciousness, our universe, exists. And it's in a state of flux, ever moving. Now we are in the expansion phase, we call it the expanding universe. And there are a lot of things happening. That's why without the understanding of this science, technology, and through the spiritual law, we cannot understand the universe, we cannot understand our own creation, our own form and mind. So Sakkayaditi is self-delusion that didn't have the ability to develop this understanding. That's why you will grow up, so you are thinking that the form and mind is real, thinking that we are a permanent unchanging entity that exists. That's why we think we exist, we are real. That's why you want to own things, you want to possess things, you want to have things. We will develop all the evils of craving, desire, lust, selfishness, attachment, the emotional negativity, anger, hatred, violence, followed by all the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamenting. All these are evils, roots of all evil. So this is how we should develop the understanding of the three evil roots and the understanding of Buddha Dharma. So Sakaya Thiti is not only you don't study the Buddha Dharma, it's because of that Sakaya Thiti, the self-delusion. You don't understand the form and mind. You don't understand who you are, what you are. That's why you can't break free. You will develop the wrong view, the delusion, to attach, to cling, to corrupt, and give meaning. That's why human being can be like afflicted by karmic conditioning, karmic friction. So these are basically the essential understanding that a cultivator should develop. When you have such understanding, means you are no longer deluded, ignorant. Then you can understand life, you can live life, and you can have the noble life. But you will know how to avoid all evil to good and purify the mind following the advice of all Buddha to cultivate this Dhamma. So hopefully this summary can help Kayamitas who want to have more in-depth understanding of all this. We will go back to the sharing. Oh, 9:44 already. Okay, I will read this part and we can have our toilet break. You say I can't believe that. I will not study it all. We will just see if I turn into a pig or a horse. Sure, you go ahead and try it out. Once you have tried out, you can come back and study the Buddha Dharma. There is no need for force. As long as you want to be an animal, the opportunity is there. You can do it anywhere, anytime. The wheel of rebirth is serious indeed. I think this is a direct translation from the Mandarin word. That's why the English is a bit not normal. Depending on what cause you plant, you reap the fruit accordingly. You plant good causes, you reap good fruits. That's why the direct translation is like that. 种善因结善果. In Mandarin is so beautiful, the flow is so nice. But when it comes to English, you plant good causes, 种善因, you reap good fruit. 种善因结善果. Should be you plant the seed of goodness or wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of goodness and wholesomeness. Then if you plant the bad causes, you reap the bad fruit. 种恶因结恶果. That's why it's a direct translation. So the English is not so smooth, so not so easy to comprehend. A better way would be if you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. What is this? If you plant squash, what is squash? Oh, it's a melon. It's a melon. 种瓜得瓜. Yeah, the direct translation. If you plant melon, you get melon. Here they use the word squash. Squash is a type of melon.
Like
a melon, okay. Yeah, it's a veggie. Oh, like a pumpkin type. Okay. If you plant beans, you get beans. Let's see what causes you plant. If you plant the causes of becoming a Buddha, you will become a Buddha. If you plant the causes of evil, you will fall into hell. You pick your own destiny, your own path. The living being in the sixth destiny, Liu Tao Lun Wei, are not just the few that I mentioned above. They are of all shape and appearances, and they all appear in the white hair mark light of Sakyamuni Buddha. The white hair light, hair mark light of Sakyamuni Buddha represent the final principles of the middle way, which does not veer off either side. He is also the perfect and sudden Dhamma door of the Dhamma Flower Sutta. It is the principle of the middle way and the real man. This passage of text begins the manifesting of the six potent in other world. The potent is that of seeing the being in the sixth destiny. Okay, we stop here. So now you open for meditation, reporting, followed by whatever question you may have or whatever sharing that you may want to have.
Father Gil, 我想 share 我的 meditation experience.
Ah, good, Sadhu.
Actually, Sunday night when I slept quite late, 我很迟睡。然后在12点我去睡觉。然后之后他好像在做梦这样。
Okay.
After that, 就是有他 aware 到一个很好像一个字啦。出来。那个字是慢慢 manifest into 一个原字，就是缘起缘灭那个缘。
OK.
然后 after that, 那个原字慢慢就是 like, 慢慢的 slow motion 的散开这样。Burst off 这样子 ,something like that. Then after that, 我就是 fully aware 到这个整个 phenomena, then after that, 它就很像很惊讶的这样 ,then 出来就 understand like,缘起缘灭，然后空性的这个 understanding， 我不懂这个是怎样的一个。
然后
这边有一个很奇怪的是，我整个过程里面，我好像在里面很久。
Yeah。
But 我出来，我看一下我的时钟，本来就才半个小时罢了。
对，
我好像沉睡了很久这样子。
对 ，like you have deep breath。
Then after that， 当我的 consciousness 慢慢 regain， 就是我吐回来的时候，我讲，原来这个就是所谓的讲就是空性啊，缘起缘灭。
Yeah.
很清楚的给你去看到这样子，原来。
对。
Observation。So
maybe after some period of cultivation, especially after your siddhi has stabilized, then you have developed quite good understanding of the Buddha Dharma. Then, like what you have described earlier on, how all this awareness-based manifestation give rise to understanding, then during that time, the cultivator, most of the time,you are in the state of awareness and silence, and you can go into the meditative state very easily. Then throughout the day, most of the time, you are aware, mindful with it. Then when you, especially when you are tired or you like go and sleep when you want to rest, like you say the late night, midnight, you went in andyou rested, then sometimes it can like you think you have already actually rested very long. Actually, the thing has gone on for quite a while. But when you check the clock, it's not really that long. Because sometimes the time aspect, it depends on our state of mind, our consciousness.So for your case, very likely when you went in, like you described, it's like dreamlike. It's actually not really dream. You went into those meditative states which are more deeper than the normal consciousness. When you are in that state, which is the nature manifesting all these type of things, it will show you a lot of things. In the early days,I went through and it showed me many, many things. Then the nature understand and awaken. So for your case, it's unique to you because you're Mandarin educated and you saw the word yuan, yuan qi, yuan mie, yin yan, yuan. So yuan is actually a very, very penetrative Dhamma. To understand Dhamma is to understand causes and conditions. That's why Yuan is a very important Dhamma truth that one need to completely develop the understanding so that one can have that type of wisdom. Your wisdom is not a rigid knowledge. Wisdom is an understanding that can apply to all situations, all occasions. So when you understand affinity or causes and conditions or yuan, then you can understand all things. Yeah, of course, to understand all things, you need to cultivate and perfect your wisdom until Sammasambuddhahood. But as we cultivate, we will gain deeper and deeper understanding of this essential Dhamma of cause and effect and affinity, yuan. So this Dhamma that we penetrate will give deep penetrative understanding to the phenomenal world, to the conditioned world. Where this is what conditioned world is all about. It's about causes and effects, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. That's why we call it yin yan fa, yu wei fa. Then of course there is the other aspect, wu wei fa, the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma. So when you realize cessation, which is awakening, the enlightenment, then you realize the unconditioned. Then within the unconditioned, there is this unconditioned Dhamma. That's why in the Heart Sutta is also mentioned, in true emptiness, there is the unconditioned Dhamma. All this don't exist. Whatever that is real or exists or pertain to the conditioned world does not exist in the unconditioned world. That's why the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, they are two different sets of Dhamma, completely opposite. But they are beautiful. We need both to understand, to awaken, so that we know how to live within the conditioned world. There's the form and the mind, the vehicle and the tool that is karmically conditioned for each and every one of us to arise. That one is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's just a vehicle and tool for us to come and arise. So make use of it. Use it to live life, to understand life, to manifest, to go through existence, life. So this one is just a vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, conditioned world, to experience life, to go through karma, to fulfill our vows, to cultivate, to perfect ourselves, to develop new understanding, perfections. And to understand clearly the existential world, the phenomenal of consciousness and form, then to understand how they are all within the conditioned world of the conditioned number, yin yan fa. So that word yuan is very penetrative when you have good understanding of it. That's why for you, it is possible for this thing to happen, which is very, very unique and good. So, sadhu to you, Alicia.
Sadhu, brother, to you.
Sadhu.
他的感觉就是你 as an observer, 你好像觉得很惊讶, you know, like suddenly, 你哇，原来只不过如此, 又是这样的感觉, 然后其实他的所就是说，当他怎样 manifest 出来，你好像一个 outsider observe others
witness, witness being the whole thing.
就很惊讶的出来。可是当我一当他就是那个东西就是一闪开这样哦，你的 understanding 就在那边。
The nature like awaken to it, rejoice, because 你已经 actually 有了那种 understanding, but 他的 nature 会 manifest 给你看呢、so that it actually awaken you and make the understanding very stable, very penetrating. So 有时候Dhamma is like that. You need like something to trigger off. It's just like the recent Sunday, 2 days ago, I think you came over with Freddie, I think Brother Song and Jinhao. Then you take me out for lunch with my wife. Then we had a good lunch. Then after that, we came back. We had the Dhamma discussion, which was very good.And that day one, it was very extraordinary and very penetrating. It talked about the uniqueness of Dhamma, the uniqueness of the totality of understanding the big picture. That's why Brother Song, he become different again. He came and tell me, he said, Bertil, 这一次听了又不一样了。Because this is the full picture that people,who have the cultivation need to further understand. And that day we share a lot of very penetrative conditioned and unconditioned Dhamma about the form and mind and how does a cultivator like you described just now develop their understanding, their awareness. You see, when we as aliving being, when we have awareness, we are different from ordinary being. The ordinary being, they are most of the time heedless and maybe conscious of life, but they are hardly aware. So they are dependent on the brain activity and the senses to become conscious. And when they become conscious, because they are not aware inside,they don't know what is going on. They are constantly being like driven by the karmic force, karmic conditioning, and also by the nature's law that governs life and existence by causes and conditions. So they don't have control over their life. They don't understand what is going on.Because they are hardly aware, then they have a lot of habitual tendency. That's why they are very reactive, very reactive. Yeah. And all these are the karmic conditioning behind. That's why the Buddha say we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma.And because of that, we can see living beings, they are 99.99%, almost 100%, drawn by karma. Because they are born of their karma, heir to their karma, condition is supported by their karma, and they are what they are because of karma. And you cannot come out of it unless you develop the awareness to be aware and break away from the vicious cycle of heedless living, deluded life.So this vicious cycle is just like our human rhyme, in a very similar way. Yeah, you cannot get rid of the vicious cycle means we are constantly entangled in the wheel of birth and death. The Mahayana call it the Liu Dao Lun Hui, the sixth destiny. Means you cannot get out of the sixth destiny or in Theravada term.You cannot get out of the 31 plane of existence. But as far as the 31 plane of existence, the Theravada tradition, they include the Brahma rhyme and the formless rhyme. So Brahma rhyme, there are 16. and the formula surrounding 4, so total 20. Whereas the Deva rhyme, there's only 6. Then after that is the human rhyme, 7. 27. Then the 4 woeful state, the demon rhyme, the animal rhyme. Then the hungry ghost, beta rhyme. Then we have the hell rhyme. So these are the 31 plane of existence. So the Mahayana shortened it to the 6 destiny because they have the 4 woeful rhyme same. The down there one, the demon rhyme, the animal rhyme, the hungry ghost, and the hell rhyme. Then we have the human rhyme, the 5th rhyme. Then the 6th rhyme is, they actually include the Tian Fa Jie, the heavenly rhyme they call it. So most of the time people take birth in the Deva rhyme, the 6th Deva rhyme in the Kamaloka. And seldom people take birth in the Brahma rhyme and the formless rhyme, unless you do the concentration type of jhana type of meditation. Of course, it's very popular at one time in India and all those things. And people who want that type of life, they would meditate that way and take birth in the Brahma rhyme. And the Brahma rhyme, there are 16 of them. Well, there are the 4 type of form Brahma, the form rhyme, Sutan, the form rhyme, the form jhana. Then after that, you got the 4 formless jhana, Arupa, Loka. Then you take birth there, then you leave the realm. So there are 6 paths, 6 destiny is meant to simplify things. So what I'm trying to share with you is this Liu Tao Lun Hui, the 6 destiny, living being cannot get out of that, what they call a cycle of birth and death. You are trapped within that. Unless you can cultivate and develop the awakening, the enlightenment, to be an arahant and break free from the wheel of birth and death. Yeah. So this 6 destiny of rebirth, the birth and death, samsara, you can liberate from it if you can cultivate the sinhood way leading to arahantship and awakening. So in life, it is the same. Most living beings are caught in the poverty cycle. When you are caught in the poverty cycle, it's very difficult to come out of the poverty cycle. Because people who come out of the poverty cycle and don't fall in again and able to establish themselves, they are actually just a small percentage of them. So when you are in the poverty cycle, it's very difficult to come out because poverty is the cycle that will draw all those people that has the evil tendency, the lack of understanding, the lack of good karmic friction, to be trapped within the poverty cycle. So when you are trapped within the poverty cycle, it's like you are trapped within the cycle of birth and death, where you experience a lot of rebirth. And you go through life without understanding, you suffer. Every time you come, you commit karmic negativity. Then you pay back your karmic debt. So this is what they call the 6 destiny, samsara, birth and death, unending, unending, unending. So you want to break free, it's like our human rhyme. You want to break free from the poverty cycle, then have some financial freedom. Then you can improve on your life. You can have better life and all those things. So it's just an analogy. So this analogy is useful. That's why I said, when you all come that Sunday, we had that discussion. is to develop the spiritual understanding of what life is beyond the sixth destiny. Means after you have the ability to break free, let's say realize Arhantship, then we can still continue our cultivation. We can still continue with the Bodhisattva way. We can still make the Bodhisattva vow, then develop the understanding and the wisdom to actually establish ourselves firmly on the way. So that day sharing is to do that, to understand clearly the form and mind. Who are we? What are we? And from there, how we come as a form and mind and develop the ability to cultivate, to connect to our true mind, the nature within. Then when we can establish that, means we are aware. We are not only conscious. We are conscious of life, and yet we are fully aware within. But you ask that question, the five stages of body mind development. The third stage, when your nature can illuminate the body mind, that illuminate the nature very clearly. So when it can illuminate that nature, means you already have a very firm, clear understanding of what that nature is, then you will not fall back again. Because you have established yourself with that clarity and that understanding. Then the next stage of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that has the ability to renounce samsara, become automatic. You will understand that. Then that time, samsara to you as a Bodhisattva cultivating. No more meaning. Because when people tell you, wow, the Bodhisattva way is going to be very, very long, very difficult, you know, hardly anybody can really fulfill it. You are no longer with that type of delusion. Then you understand samsara is nothing. Because you have understood the form and mind. You know how to come. You know how to return. You know how to leave. You know how to develop the meditative connection, the vow, everything, the right view, the right understanding. So all this will enable you to have that wisdom, that understanding to actually come. And when you know how to come in this way with such understanding, you not only break free from samsara, you can also be a blessing to all. At the same time, you come for the living being. You vow to take them all across. Then you cultivate, you perfect yourself. And you develop your nature until it becomes perfect, complete. Then when you have that type of understanding, you will know how to live that amazing life or wonderful life. Like the Hasutta said, when you realize true emptiness, life becomes wonderful, meaningful, a lot of joy. So this is the more detailed aspect of cultivation, more meaningful. That's why all these discussions are very important. When we have the condition, we can actually have this type of gathering, small group, then people who truly interested, we can discuss them. And this is how we go in deeper with the faith and honest thing. That's why those who are serious, who have the faith and cultivate diligently, they will definitely have the understanding and the causes and condition to develop such understanding. Yeah. So, Sadhu to you, Alicia. So, this is to add on to what we need to develop as understanding for people who have the interest and the cultivation. Sadhu.
Sadhu, Padre Tio. 是的 Virgil， 因为经过那天 Sunday 的 experience， 我突然明白到，如果时间不是问题，因为在那个空间里面根本没有时间的观念。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the timeless.
对，所以那我们
Samsara is not what people think really. You have the Dhamma, Samsara is wonderful, beautiful. That's why you can really live life to the fullest. Get to experience all the pristine beauties and wonders of life, and these are possible.That's why the Bodhisattva way, the cultivation, take a turn, becomes so different. It's no more about striving, competing, trying to work very hard, diligently to do all that. It becomes like a joy because you understand what this thing is so clearly. Hmm.
是的 ，Virgil 哈，他突然间明白到。那如果时间不是问题，那我们走菩萨道就不是一个 ，you know， like 你不会去很执着那个时间上的问题。
对呀对呀。
所以
那个时间是一个like you use the word as it's an illusion actually， it's an illusion， 幻了幻了，
是的，是的 ，Produce 他就是从这个 experience， 他就很清楚的了解到那个缘起缘灭的那个，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
就很清楚，而且就是他就是 manifest 这个给我去明白到，
对对对，
时间并不是我们想象的那个，
对对对对对，
我不懂得讲什么，总之他就是
因为 samsara is only a problem to people who are deluded. Samsara is wonderful existence to the enlightened beings who have the Dhamma, especially the great beings who have that very penetrative, stable understanding. That's why they come without any second thought or doubt or whatever. They actually enjoy it. This is what their work is. It's a type of like their hobby. They like to come because this is fun. This is really wonderful. That's why my nature, when it has the understanding, it has so much joy. Then it looked back since 1989 until now, life can really become so wonderful, so meaningful. That's why every day, every moment, every instant is so beautiful, so pristine, so wonderful. And this type of existence or life is possible because our nature is aware within. And when we are with that nature,like you say, you actually stand above like a nature witnessing all this. And there is no reality. But there is such thing as life, existence, law, karma, everything. That's why everything becomes so wonderful and so amazing. 真真假假You say exist, it is also not true. You say non-exist, also not true. But both existent and non-existent are the duality within the conditioned world. Even though it's within the moment, split second is the anchor like we discussed on that Sunday. How real can life be? And it's the highest in existence, the present moment. But how stable is it? Split second is day and gone. 生灭生灭, it moves on so fast. Then how real can existence be? But even though it's like that, with the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature, there is such thing as life, existence. Like what my nature came with this segmented form my mind live.Through the last 30 odd years. It is so beautiful, 33 years of beautiful cultivated, the face of the And all these are possible when you have that cultivation and the understanding. So samsara, you will come to know, is actually nothing, not what people think. A lot of people are so scared of samsara. Be local, and they always say, quickly finish and start with it. Especially those who, from the Theravada tradition, they just want to become a sotapan, the next one, seven line, gone, finish, job done, or become an arahant, and no more rebirth. So to them, it's no more rebirth, no more suffering. Is that really life? That is not the full, complete picture of life. That is just a very small fraction of life. You just want to believe that you exist, the entity, break free from life. But actually, no. The understanding is that Sakayadity, the mundane mind, realizes itself and break free. Then it realizes Asian, the unconditioned. But the unconditioned still have a long journey to go if you know how to do the cultivation, to continue the Bodhisattva way and others. So that is where the beauty is. Okay? Also, four Pusa, all the four Pusa.
Because touched out on the anger, hatred, all this.
Because
evil roots, 真的能够使你 很 deluded 的去接受你的身体。
对，因为我已经
go through 这些，所以
in the early days， 你给他抓到你整个人，因为那个时候你没有 awareness， 你还没有 connect， 你都根本都 like 不了解这些东西， it's just like in deep delusion， ignorant。
In really, really karmic,
then you see kai huan de ji ya ji huan. Yeah, these are karmic that.
我还记得我在 Cameron 的时候, 他们跟我讲, 你很多冤亲债主。
对，因为 a lot of karmic obstruction initially. 你的 ulcer affect 你到那边 especially when you attend the other retreat. The first one, because I was there, you managed to overcome it. It was not so bad. But I remember after that, I think when Achalo conduct, you also went. I think after a few days, you cannot take it, you left. I remember there was one incident. So all this is because of the karmic obstruction at that time. But luckily, you have your causes and conditions, and when the karmic thing has been like broken down, is when you start to have the faith to ask for forgiveness and develop the sincerity to cultivate and move on, then you become different. Then after that, you start to recover, turn around, and develop the understanding. Then you diligently chase after Sihan for the recording, and you diligently listen, then cultivate, develop the understanding on your own, and you attend a lot of the session, the Tuesday class, the retreat, and in between all the other spiritual activity like our Monday, what they call house dana, and the Sunday class, whooping is a remember you attend very often. So all this give rise to causes and conditions through your past yuanfen and affinity with the triple gem and the great beings. Then what you do is like it brings about causes and conditions for all this to manifest. That's how you are able to be what you are now. It's so beautiful, so different. That's why everybody should know. Everyone start from very basic But when the time comes, things happen and you will move very fast. That's why I always say you may not know your past until things happen. Mm. So really beautiful, eh? Sadhu. Mm.
Yeah,
不是一个人来的, 不是一个 being. It cannot come out and live life. Yeah? It is the unconditioned. It got no thought, nothing. It has no words. That's why it cannot come out and live life. It's not you. It's just a nature. The true nature, awareness nature. The true mind. The oneness nature. And this nature, the first thing that manifests is just aware. No words, nothing, no duality. That's why it's a person, the unconditioned. So all this understanding, as you cultivate, as you realize, you will penetrate and you will awaken. Okay? Sadhu.
Yes, Sadhu.
So let us rejoice with the good sharing. Bye. Sister Alicia, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.